Is there anything you want to start with today?
Well, I've got one thing I'd like to ask. I've had one encounter. I've heard you talk a lot about the Firestones. I had one encounter on them, but I really didn't understand everything that was going on. I guess my first question is where and what is the main purpose of the, what am I supposed to be doing there? What am I supposed to be looking into and experiencing?
All right, interesting, yeah. Where they are, well, where I've encountered them, is where the throne of God is related to the river of fire. In Daniel, it talks about the river of fire coming out of the throne of God. And my very first actual encounter in heaven was on those stones, where that fire was. And I was just taken there in a, I guess it was a trance. I guess I was completely unaware of physical surroundings. So I was there standing before this river of fire, sort of like somewhat amazed. And I sensed that I needed to look up and saw the throne, and saw these stones that were ascending to the throne. And they were pretty amazing. It's almost like I could see into them. I could see all the structure of them. It was amazing. It was an amazing experience for me there. But subsequently, I've been back quite a number of times and found deeper and deeper levels of experience there. And when I've engaged the fire stones and I've gone to the top of the stones and come before the throne of God there, there are thrones of God in lots of different places, and they're for different functions and different purposes. And so I found the throne there is where my throne is, where I'm seated in heavenly places. Yeah, I'm on a mountain throne, and in that mountain throne, yeah, there. That's one dimension, but you also have the thrones of God in the Revelation 4, 5 type throne of God, if you like, where you've got the thunders and lightnings and the living creatures and the four, seven spirits of God and all those things. That's that another place. You also have the temple where the train of his robe fills the temple where the seraphim are and the altar of incenses or the altar for the coals. So lots of different places where they're thrown. So I found that when I first engaged and went up the fire stones, I just wanted to cast everything before God, lie in my face. I couldn't even look up. I could not even look up other than lying before his feet. But in my spirit, I saw the thrones that were going off from that throne off into the distance, and my immediate thought was, I wonder if I've got a throne there and where is it? So I began to walk and explore those thrones, and I saw a few that were occupied with a representation of people I knew, but most were just empty. And eventually I found a throne which I recognized in my spirit as being mine. It didn't have my English name on it, but it had something written there which I knew represented me. So I sat on that throne, and I've subsequently, when I've engaged the Firestones, I've always looked to go and engage on that throne and begin to administer, or begin to see, I guess, from out of the perspective of that the Firestones have revealed. So that's really where I've encountered them. Obviously, Ezekiel 28 talks about Satan being on the firestones, or Lucifer being on the firestones, and I've encountered nine firestones there, which seem to line up with the nine stones that were on his body, the nine stones which were related to the nine strands of the DNA of God. There seem to be different levels of understanding of nine. And of course, you get 9 plus the 3 that we have, our 3 DNA strands, our 3 stones, make up the 12 stones on the breastplate of the high priest. And really, those 12 stones are about government and the fullness of government. So 9 is a number of complete in itself, which is a really interesting number. And so everything in 9 adds up to 9. So, you know, 9 times 2 is 18. So 1 plus 8 equals 9. 9 times 3 is 27. 2 plus 7 equals 9. Everything comes to a completeness with 9. But it's not the fullness of government. You need 12 for the fullness of government. And recently I found that when I've engaged on the firestones and I've engaged in revelation into the government of God, then the 12 stones that are on the crown that I wear when I'm seated on my own throne almost resonate with a frequency of revelation that comes when I look into those firestones. And I have found that there are different levels of those firestones. My first encounter was the 9 fruit of the Spirit. And so I stepped onto the stones, and it was just like I became one with love. You know, I didn't want to move from that place because it was just an amazing experience of like being completely one with that stone. It was like I was joined to it, and I felt emotions to it. But I've sort of eventually moved up and experienced the different stones. Each time, just having an encounter, you know, and it felt like a long encounter. And I think the time zone of my own personal experience here was not in proportion to the length of time that I was on those stones in that realm of heaven. And so it was just an amazing experience of the revelation of the character of God. I mean, that was what I was experiencing at another level, what it meant to be connected with the character of God. And then as I absorbed that character, then that was the character in terms of holiness that I should be living according to and flowing out of. Having gone back, I've also re-engaged that because I wanted to re-experience it when I was helping other people. But then I began to experience another level, and I began to look, as I stood on the firestones, I began to look into the revelation that was there, which became revelation of some of the protocols of heaven, some of the governmental protocols, and particularly about how God does things. And I mean, I can remember, I've got some of them written down, the initial ones, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, were all a nature of the character of God and how I engage with that. And then I experienced looking into them, and it was a different experience. It wasn't like I was feeling them emotionally, but I was looking into them in my spirit, and the light and the frequency and the vibration and the almost the fragrance, the different levels of things in heaven that you experience. You know, it's not just one-dimensional, it's multidimensional. So everything has a light and a color and a fragrance and a formula and a revelation and an emotion. And they're all encountered in everything from the very grass that you step on to, you know, engaging God. And so I began to stand on them, look into them, and my spirit just became resonating with it, although my mind certainly couldn't understand it. You know, it wasn't an understanding cognitive, oh, I'm standing here and I'm getting this revelation in my mind. It was my spirit is just absorbing a frequency, a light, a revelation that I just knew was a deep thing. And it's like this for me is where deep calls out to deep. You know, yes, the waterfall, you can stand under that, but this is another level. And so I began to look into that, and what I found, it was associated with 9 ways in which God operates. And so there was the law of God, the testimonies of God, the ways of God, the precepts of God, the statutes of God, the commandments of God, the judgments of God, the ordinances of God, and the wonders of God. And I began to engage that in my spirit, and I began to resonate with it. And I found all those things in Psalm 119. When I was on my very original fast, I had revelation of just from Psalm 119. I remember having a dream. In the dream, one of the verses of Psalm 119 just was almost like rammed into me. It was a strange thing, but it felt like I was fed this verse. And as I went back and meditated over it, I went back and looked at Psalm 119, the first 40 verses of it particularly, and I found those 9 things that were there, and they were associated with actions that we need to respond. And so when I stepped back onto the Firestones, I began to look at, you know, my response to those things. So the law of God, my response is to walk in the law of God. So it's about me outworking that in my life. The testimonies of God, to observe the testimonies of God. And I think that's both observing as in looking at, but also observing as in observing, carrying them out. The ways of God, it was keeping the ways of God and clinging to the ways of God. The precepts of God was looking, beholding, and seeking the precepts of God. The statutes of God was about learning, understanding, and having counsel of the statutes of God. Commandments of God was speaking. Judgments of God was meditating. Ordinances of God was delighting and desiring. And the wonders of God was regarding. And I found all that stuff in there. And it then released another understanding of once I was encountering those 9 things, then there were things that would be released from that, and those were being blessed, established, not ashamed, righteous, thankful, pure, abundant, blameless, and revived. So there was a whole host of depth of revelation that, you know, I guess is going to take me quite a long time ultimately to come into the fullness of, but, you know, that was where, you know, I've engaged with the Firestones at that sort of level. I've had some pretty encounters, the pretty amazing encounters there, in that they've been pretty overwhelming almost. It's almost like standing there and engaging. The last time, about a month ago, God sort of talked to me and spoke to me. He said he wanted me to come deeper into the Father and the Son and the Spirit. And that was come deeper into the river of life, come deeper into the Firestones, and come deeper into the Father's heart. And so when I went back in response to that on the Firestones, it took me even to a deeper level, and I realized how the depths of God are, how deep the depths of God are. And it's like I stood on those Firestones, and I sank into them. You know, I disappeared into them. And it was an overwhelming experience. But what it did, it took me into a revelation of the laws that come out of Zion and the 12 chancellor's houses in the realms of heaven. And I'm just at that point of looking to re-engage that and to experience it. And wisdom helped me engage initially, showed me the 12 houses with the 12 high chancellors. One of them is Melchizedek, which we know really well, but there are 11 others, which most people, I don't think, have a clue about what their names are or what the functions are. And that engagement, where I went really deep into the Firestones, opened up access to me into the court of the councils of the fathers. And when I went into that court, I engaged the Father on the throne. It was not like I'd seen him ever anywhere else. it was the Father on the throne, not just like God Almighty on the throne, but the Father. And there were 12 elders on his left and 12 elders on his right. And as I was standing there, wisdom began to unveil some of the things that I'd experienced when I sank into the stones, and showed me that the 12 elders on the left of God represented the 12 laws that came out of Jerusalem, which were the walking in his ways here in this realm. And the 12 elders on the right-hand side represented the 12 laws that come out of Zion, which represent the function of the government of God in the realm of heaven. And I'm in a place right now where I'm just beginning to re-engage that and to go deeper into it. So firestones are a pretty amazing place. You know, I wouldn't encourage people just to go and step into it willy-nilly. It's a deep place, and you can get pretty much blown away if you're not in a place of being able to contain some of what is released there. But an amazing opportunity to look into that which Lucifer looked into, in terms of the purposes of God for mankind, and God and man's function within the government of God in becoming the three, which joins with the nine to become 12 and fullness of government, and how amazing it is that God has chosen to, in a sense, limit his government in this realm to us joining in with him. And it was like Satan looked into that and, as a result, rebelled, because he saw that our destiny and what he was supposed to reflect out from the nine stones that covered his body out into creation, so that the revelation of that firestones would be made available to the sons of men. But he didn't, and he tried to use and trade on that knowledge, and called us, of course, the third of the angels fell, and light got removed from the universe, from the spiritual realm as well as the physical one, in that sense. So pretty amazing stuff, but you know, it's going to take a few years, I think, for me to engage fully in all of that, but I'm pursuing it bit by bit. So, yeah. What was it like for you when you engaged there?
Well, I was kind of just taken there because I didn't even know where they were. Just, yeah. You know, I was taken there, and it's like each one had a different color.
Yeah.
And that's what I was engaging as I just stepped one after another. And it was just like, you know, I'd understand what the color was, and then I would just step to the next one. I mean, it was a brief encounter. I really didn't know what was going on. And I was just embracing this color around me, and you know, I was asking, you know, what does it mean? And I figured when I came out of that, you know, I could do a little research and find out different meanings of the colors and things like that. But that was about it. And you know, I was looking into the stones, trying to figure out what kind of stones they were, you know, what kind of gemstone or whatever they were made out of. Just inquisitive. That was about it. You know, it was a real. Yeah. Kind of superficial surface encounter, but I know that's important to me, and I've got to really learn how to embrace those and, you know, step into them, not just on them. But I was kind of just stepping on them, and I really wanted to go deeper, but I didn't that time.
Yeah, anyway. But, you know, involuntary nature of it is an indication that you've been invited to engage it, you know.
Yeah.
It took me a long time to go back. You know, it was my first encounter in heaven in 2010. No, was it 2008, actually. Then I had a two-year period where I couldn't re-engage, you know, until I sort of broke through that again. So, it, you know, at that point, it was an amazing experience. But, you know, a really, really positive one. I think that the different gemstones, They all represent the gemstones that radiate the light of God. I think there was a post on the Facebook page a while ago about I think it was the Derek Prince, I think, about the anamorphic and isomorphic gemstones and how when cross-polarized light is shined onto those gemstones, certain gemstones turn black and they don't radiate anything, and others radiate the seven colors of the rainbow. And all those 12 actually are the ones that radiate the rainbow colors, whereas things like diamonds and rubies, I think, and garnet and a few others don't. They absorb rather than reflect that light. So very interesting. He was basically saying, you know, science has only discovered that in the last few years, whereas God had those stones all operating in that reflecting light, because most people would choose diamonds as being the most precious, but actually that wasn't how God chose them. He chose them on the basis of how they reflected light, and of course as Lucifer looked into them, he was then to reflect them out from him. So yeah, pretty interesting stuff, really.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Anyone else got anything they want to talk about, ask, share? Feel free. Unmute yourself if you want to.
Nope.
No one else got anything? Everyone else is quiet.
You know what? I have a question.
Okay, go on then.
I'll just jump right in. Legislating. Can you explain that word to me?
Legislating. Legislation is when something in government is put into law and it becomes a law of the land. So, for instance, in our parliament, they introduce legislation which becomes law, and then that law becomes enacted in the land, and then it becomes something which is enforceable by authority released from government. So the police and other agencies can enforce the law, which is that legislative decree or paper or issue which is then accepted as law. So in a kingdom sense, we operate under the legislative government that God has already established. Hence, those will be some of the things I shared earlier, the precepts, statute, commandments of God, judgments of God that have already been established. So as lords, we administer those from our mountains. So we function under the government of God, and we administer as a lord under his kingship. Now, once you operate faithfully in lordship, there's an opportunity of becoming kingship, operating in kingship under the function of a higher throne and engaging at a higher level in the realms of heaven, when you can engage in the kingdom of heaven or heaven itself. And you can access some of the courts that are there, which would be the court of kings. Now, the court of kings is where we take our place when we have been invested with authority in kingship, and we begin to legislate. So we begin to release from the creativity of our spirit, according to and in alliance with the word of God and the destiny that he has for us, to release legislative decrees. And then there's a process where those legislative decrees, just like in our natural government, we have a process where it gets debated in Parliament, and then it's passed by Parliament, then it gets sent to the House of Lords, and the House of Lords debate it, and then if it gets passed by the House of Lords, it goes before the Queen in one of the parliamentary sessions that the Prime Minister has, and she verifies it for authorization into law. Now, in a sense, that's almost a ceremonial thing, but it's a picture of what goes on in actuality in the realms of heaven. So my first encounter with legislative government was Wisdom took me to the Court of Kings, and I sat actually at a bench, whereas normally in other courts I've been presenting something to a bench, and before me was a scroll, and from my spirit just came forth a set of decrees, and those decrees just appeared on the scroll out of my spirit, and I read them, and it was the law of fatherhood and sonship was the title of it, and it had a set of decrees that went with it. And then I'm sort of a little bit like, what do I do with this now? So Wisdom then took me to the Court of Chancellors, and I presented this decree, and they read it, and then they began to, there was four of them at this bench that I was aware of as I presented it. They began to debate this, and then they then sealed it. They sealed it with the seal of the lion and the ox and the eagle. And I knew it had been authorized, so then Wisdom then took me to the Court of Scribes, and they put it into record. You know, so there was this process with this law, and then depending obviously on what government you're operating in and who that government is associated with determines in a sense what you do with things like that. If it's, you know, operating at a bench of three level, which is what it was for me, I took that scroll and presented it to the bench of three. We stepped into the realms of heaven together, and we authorized that. They resonated with it. And then we looked for strategy. What do we need to do to outwork this legislative government? This authorization to act, this law, if you like. And we went to the strategy court and saw that we needed earthly agreement. We had agreed it in heaven, but there needed to be a fourth with the three of us to open up earthly agreement so that there could be a window for this to be released. And so we took it to our Council of 12, presented it to them. Again, accepted that, resonated with it, and you know, I had a particular thing I saw that I printed it out, and we signed it, and then they all signed it, and we authorized it, and then we all stepped back into heaven together around the Court of Kings, and I decreed it from there. So that was a whole process of legislative authority and how it gets released. And then I was away on the Sunday, and on that Sunday there was a whole manifestation of the Father Heart of God got released amongst people, which was an immediate outworking of what we'd done. Now we've then gone through that and have subsequently continued to see some of the decrees outworked, and we're still outworking some of those decrees even now. So legislation is bringing something into law so that it can be legitimately enforced by the by kingdom government and authority. There's a whole process to go through for it, really. But the more we embrace our destinies and we engage what true sonship is, then the more legislative authority we will be releasing. And ultimately, you know, that means that we can issue that legislation, which then governs the sphere of influence that we have here. So if those who are called to Bench of Threes, who are establishing cities of refuge, embassies of heaven on earth, then that those type of legislative decrees will effectively administer the government of God on earth in those places as it is in heaven. And some of the authority and things that will be released will be way beyond what people would imagine or think now. And the great works of Jesus, which is the creative authority and power, will be part of that government, which we will establish on earth, and that people will live under the blessing of it, because it's all about blessing. Nothing of this is about cursing, nothing is about judgment, it's about blessing, because that's what the decrees are. If there's judgment to be made, then that's a totally different judicial process. But this is about releasing laws that will bring blessing to people, bring people into security, bring people into provision, you know, for outworking the purposes of God in their own life. I mean, is that sort of makes sense?
Yes, that makes a lot of sense, and I like what you said about the blessing. That is just absolutely awesome, because I have been asking the Lord about that word, and also I've kind of changed my praying a little, where I start out with, say, somebody needs healing or whatever it is that they need at that time, and I'll just start out with, Father, you have not written this record of sickness for them, but your record that you have written is for healing and wholeness, et cetera, et cetera. And it seems to work. Last night I was up at 3:30 in the morning, and I was praying about something very specific. I had seen the enemy. He had a very long, long, long scroll, and wasn't good. And so what I did with that scroll is I burned it in the fire and the power of the Holy Spirit, because I felt like he was legislating some things. Mm. In regards to a circumstance. And then as the scroll burned, I saw the letters and words just floating in the air. So I began to not only take authority, but I burned them in the fire and the power of the Holy Spirit, because I figure, you know, if you burn things, they don't come back. It's over, it's finished, no backlash. And then I began to call on the scroll that the Lord wrote for that particular situation. Now, when I went, now I'm not quite sure about the courts. When you go into the court of accusation, you go in there, you get your divorce papers for whatever it is, and then do you take those divorce papers and then bring them into the court of war, get your victory papers, then do you bring them into the court of angels and then show them these two papers, and then they're mandated to carry out your destiny scroll? Is that right?
Yeah, sort of. I mean, it depends really on what and what you're led by the Spirit to do. I don't think I've taken any divorce papers into the court of war. I've just taken them to the angelic court, definitely. I usually take them to my mountain, and I then begin to decree and declare according to that, to depending on the situation. I mean, if it's my personal situation, then obviously I'm declaring it over my own life or my own spheres. If it's for somebody else, then again, I can make those decrees, but you're very, very much looking for people to come into alignment with that. If you certainly felt to go into a court and get another decree of victory, then go with it. You know, I don't think there's not a one only type of way of doing this. It's how your spirit will direct you in those situations. And if you felt to go and do that, then that's what you need to do. I can't say I've personally done that, but that doesn't mean anything. It's actually, what is it that God directed you in your spirit to do in that situation? And when you do that, that authorizes the authority. I then would take that scroll into my heart, and then I would, in this realm, begin to administer from it. So that gives me the authority to take captive every thought. It gives me the authority to enforce any restraining order against the enemy. Because just because we get a court order doesn't mean that he's going to obey it. Sometimes you have to reinforce it because he's broken that order, but that's when God increases the level of judgment, and they won't do that often. What we mustn't do is get divorce papers, look to be separated from and administer that separation, and then immediately a thought comes, or a familiar pattern of thoughts come, this didn't work, and we cancel the authority that we've got by speaking out negatively. What we must do is take captive the thought. Use the authority to decree to any familiar thought pattern or stronghold of thinking, I take you captive, I line you up according to the authority that I have in this mandate to be separate from you. You have no authority here. I rebuke you. And, you know, and then I would take it into the court, and I would again stand there, and I would get the judgment of God released against them for breaking that court order. They don't like that, and they don't do it very much after that. But a lot of people, immediately they've gone through lie busting, or they've gone through some ministry, and something happens. It's, oh no, it didn't work. Oh. And immediately they open the door for the enemy to come back and afflict them, because they're then in faith for the negative rather than in faith for the positive. And usually why what they say opens up a door. Because the reality is, just because a thought comes doesn't mean that you have to embrace the thought. You have authority to say no. In reality, we have to deal with thoughts and choices every single day of our lives. They're not sinful until you actually choose to come along into them. They're just a choice. And if I choose to do it in accordance with the will and purposes of God, then I'm flowing in His strength. If I choose to do things in my own strength, then I'm connected to that in my own strength. So, you know, we just have to work out how to enforce those things, which is an ongoing process. But I found that a lot of those things that I was having struggles with and dealing with, I no longer have, because the enemy no longer does anything according to that, because he can't, you know, and his power is completely broken, because now I live totally in the truth of that revelation that I received and the authority that I carry. You see, it's not the authority just for God to do something, it's the authority to me to overcome. I have authority to overcome this mindset, to overcome that familiar spirit, to overcome that issue, because now I operate in that authority in the realm of the kingdom.
I have another question earlier, and thank you for that. Thank you for what you said. I so appreciate it. For the bench of three, I know it's a relationship between three people, and it could be apostle, prophet, two apostles, a prophet kind of thing, and then you have the seven mountains underneath them, which are the fivefold ministry, And then you mentioned the Council of 12. I'm not quite sure what they do and where they belong.
Okay. The Seven Mountains, for me, represent seven spheres of authority that we've been given in the kingdom as an individual. And if you have a ministry area of government like the church, then the church would have seven mountains. They don't really represent the fivefold ministry. That fivefold order is ended. God is not really using that because he's raising up an order of Melchizedek. So it really represents the spheres of government, and that could be anything that you're called to. It could be family, it could be work, it could be church, it could be a specific gift area, prophetic or apostolic. Could be any of those things, you know. So, in a sense, that we need to find out what those spheres are, so we can administer them from our mountain. Really, our mountain is a. If you think about it, our mountain really is our position. Is who we are positionally in government in heaven. And we can administer all the mountains we're associated with from there. And if we're then elevated to a higher mountain in terms of invested with kingship authority, we still administer all the mountains from there because it's positionally who I am, governmental authority in the kingdom. And so I can administer that from there. I need to understand the seven so that I can see the spheres that I've been given. You know, and sometimes there are seven beneath each one, depending on, you know, if it's a church one, you know, we have seven different spheres for each of our spheres, but we're only exploring those things right now. When it comes to 12, 12 is obviously the fullness of government, and 12 is represented by the two sets of 12 elders. And so it's more like a cabinet. You know, in terms of our parliamentary system, the government has a cabinet with departments involved. So our here represents the bench of three plus nine others. Just like in the disciples, there were 12 disciples, 12 apostles. Three of them, Peter, James, and John, were more connected to Jesus in a governmental sense than there were nine others. We have 12 representing our seven mountains, the three of us, and two representing our external ministries that we administer certain aspects of the government that God's given us. I think there will be 12 that get raised up around the world in different regions. Certainly in Germany, I've seen a council of 12 representing 12 spiritual regions there. I think there will be more ministries that begin to join in authority in governmental 12 to release blessing to support all the things that God are doing. Because I think what we've got to look on this is it is a top-down thing. It's a bottom-up. We provide, finishing that, I believe that God is going to raise up benches of three around the world, over governmental areas, over physical areas in terms of towns, cities of refuge. But I also believe that there will be those that join together in these sort of councils that provide additional support and governmental encouragement. Because, you know, in each of our government, we have a department, let's say a department of education or department of health, and you have a minister assigned to that department. And then that minister then has a whole load of other ministers who are associated with those departments. So I think God is going to establish government. You know, the kingdom of God is going to fill the earth, and therefore there has to be government assigned. So I think 12s will be a different level of government. And ultimately there is a 70 in government. In terms of the Galactic Council, there's a 70. The Sanhedrin was a 70, and they had greater legislative authority in terms of judgment. You know, the bench of three in any Qahal could not administer any judgment other than life. they couldn't administer death. Hence, when Jesus was going to be crucified, they needed the Sanhedrin to authorize the crucifixion. The same goes with levels of government. There will be greater dimensions of authority that will be released to 70, whether that's the Galactic Council of 70, whether there are 70s that are going to be over nations. I'm not sure yet, but I know that we're going to see a greater dimension of that released in the future. So, yeah. Right. I'm possibly a short one. Okay. Well, probably I've only got 5 minutes really left, so. It's all about levels of government. So you absolutely have a mountain that carries government towards your family. But you can only administer government according to that which you carry in your heart. So if you have not nurtured your family in your heart and you don't carry them in your heart by, in a sense, incubating, brooding over them for the purposes of God for their lives, then the level of authority you have is limited. But once you carry them within your heart and your desire is for their destiny and your desire is for the outworking of their purposes, then your government towards them is increased. And so each of us would have that as a sphere of government over our own family situations, which will be one of our seven mountains, which we can begin to administer out of what we carry there. I think, and there are wider spheres of that. Some people may be called to government over family or marriage in a kingdom sense, and they may have ministry areas that they minister into those things at a level which is wider than just family, their own family. And so they may have authority to administer kingdom resources or revelation or legislation into family issues for their town or their region or for a nation or even nationally or internationally, because that's a different level. Now, you know, you have the sort of Johnny Enlow seven mountains of different things in the world. And there are ultimately levels of authority that are international, but there may well be lots of different levels of authority that people are called to before that. You know, so there may be a family thing where someone's call and primary function is to minister into that, and so they will have a greater dimension to administer that wider than their own family. But again, they would still need to take it into their heart and carry that ministry and that call and that destiny and begin to look into the beginning of it in God, around the presence of God, around the ark, you know, see the end from the beginning and see the beginning from the end and begin to manifest that into today. And that's where we can begin to legislate out of God's eternal purposes into today to change tomorrow effectively. So I think, yeah, there are definitely levels of authority that we are called to administrate, and I think there will probably be senses where God, when we're faithful with our family, then we will get a larger family maybe to administrate, if that's within our destiny, if that makes sense. Yeah. Is that make sense, John?
It does, yeah. Thank you. Yeah, thanks.
Okie dokie. All right. Okay, well,